Awesome. Good to have you back, listeners, with us. So we're going to go to an interview now with Sarah Williams, who is the CEO from What Were You Wearing Australia. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and appreciate it's like nice and early. And Sarah, I know we didn't have this in the questions that we kind of planned, but well, we've got you on the show to talk about well, a few different things, but also the upcoming National Day of Action that's being planned around ending gender-based violence. That's happening next weekend. But did you want to share with our listeners just anything, any fun facts about yourself?
Oh gosh.
I've put you on the spot, haven't
I
I?
guess
Yeah.
a little fun fact would be, although I do, I guess, a lot of advocacy work as like my full-time job, I actually coach girls soccer on the side.
Oh, that's fantastic. There you
And I
go.
sort of do that as my like little escape from this work.
Yeah.
It's obviously quite hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's gorgeous as well. I love that you're coaching a girls' soccer team. So there you go. It's always good to hear what people do in their spare time as well. And of course, we are having a serious interview today, but it's good to know just about what you do to look after yourself. Just a question here around, according to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, rates of domestic family violence and sexual violence have reached crisis levels, rising by 8% in the last year, 2025 to 2026. Would you be able to comment, Sarah, on the issue of violence against women?
Yeah, so I guess it's, those statistics are very concerning. We know that in even just in 2024, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese declared gender-based violence as a national emergency in Australia. So then to have 2025 to 2026 have this come out is showing that, there is the chance that it means that more people are just reporting. But regardless, still a major issue in Australia, domestic, family and sexual violence. And what our government is doing obviously isn't enough, and we need to be doing more. I think it just really shows the scale of how urgent it is, how big of a problem we have, unfortunately, and how much more needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, the death toll from of femicides has increased over the last year as well. So, are you able to just tell us a little bit about what were you wearing and some of the work that it does?
Yeah, of course. So we're a national charity fighting to end domestic, family, sexual violence. We mainly do support groups for victim survivors right across the country, actually. They're free, run by mental health professionals, and they allow victim survivors to connect with others, but also get that power, not only group connection, but learn different healing techniques. But aside from that, we do a lot of focus on, I guess, awareness and systematic change. So a lot of people, I guess, know us for challenging different victim-blaming narratives, particularly, our name being what we wear. That's all around making it clear that it doesn't matter what someone was wearing. It'll never, ever be victim's fault for what they were wearing in regards to sexual assault. But beyond that, we work directly with victim survivors by amplifying their voices and pushing even policy changes. So we'll sometimes campaign for different things. We mandated drink sparking training within New South Wales RSA in 2023. We really just use the platform we have and our audience to be able to really put pressure on government and people in positions of power to make change.
Such important work, Sarah. And and just and especially that awesome work around running support groups can be just so invaluable for people who survive trauma, and just a really wonderful way for people to heal and connect with other people who've had similar experiences. So, yeah, thank you for all the work you do. I know you probably don't hear this enough, but, like, it's so, yeah, so needed, unfortunately, but also so appreciated what you do. So, and are you able to tell us about the upcoming nationwide rallies that are coming up?
Yeah, so we're organising nationwide rallies on April 18th and 19th, so not this weekend, next weekend, to demand urgent action on violence. So there are 17 locations across the country, and they're really about bringing an end to violence. So domestic, family, sexual violence, femicide, all the different types of violence, really, bringing their calls to end, predominantly, obviously, men's violence in Australia. We know, unfortunately, that majority of perpetrators are male. We obviously are still rallying for all genders, male victim survivors as well. So it's a really big way for everyone, no matter who you are, to come together to say no more. We did this in 2024, we did this last year as well, and we're doing it again this year. And every year we've been able to see some really big changes, commitments by government as well. So we're hoping that we'll see the same again this year.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it can be so empowering as well for survivors to be involved in taking that, like, really systemic action as well. I really appreciate that you've been organising these rallies. It's such an important thing to come together on and say enough is enough. We're just wondering, Sarah, if you had any comments on how the federal government is responding to family violence.
I would say there's been some positive commitments from the federal government, but overall, the response, like, it still falls short of what's needed. We'll see time and time again, you know, some announcements of funding packages, but often they're reactive and not sustained at what's actually required. And then there's also a gap between policy announcements and what's actually reaching frontline services and communities. So, for example, you know, even just our charity in general, we don't receive any government funding at all. We don't see any of that funding, but we still are on the front line helping victim survivors. And we know that frontline services, even the ones that do get government funding, are absolutely begging all across the country for more sustained long-term funding. Not enough is being done, and we know this because statistics continue to increase. The issue is still just as bad as ever, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, particularly around family violence, for example, it's actually, you know, it is getting worse, especially with rising cost of living and all of those barriers that prevent, again, mainly women from leaving abusive relationships. And it's just, and it increases the risk of family violence as well, like financial stress, it can be a factor too. There's a lot, and totally hear you. It's inadequate, and we need sustained effort, and we need it to be taken for the serious crisis that it is. Did you have any more comments, or would you like to tell us about the demands that What Were You Wearing are asking for with the rally?
Yeah, rallies? Sure. So our demands, I guess, are centred around safety, prevention and accountability. You know, obviously our number one is sustained funding for the frontline, including men's behaviour change programs. But another one we've introduced this time is we really want to see mandatory domestic, family and sexual violence prevention education for school-aged kids. So, you know, we've got obviously healthy relationships and consent education, but our belief is that we're not actually teaching kids what is domestic, family and sexual violence. We're not actually naming it. We're not teaching them about coercive control, control and power in general, all the different things. And the biggest thing we know is children and just, you know, young adults, teenagers, we can't report violence if we can't even name it.
100%.
Myself included, you know, I was a victim of domestic family violence growing up. But I didn't even realise that I was actually going through these crimes until I was older and went to counselling for the first time.
Yeah.
And it really shows that if they can actually name it when it's happening, they can actually get them help earlier on. There's studies out there that shows that it prevents the crime from happening. And so that's something we are really passionate about. We're going to start a petition very soon in Victoria for people to sign with that one. And then our last demand is on trauma-informed training for all first responders. So we believe that police particularly, but also, you know, paramedics, anyone on the front line needs to be trained in trauma-informed care. So, you know, what actually is domestic family sexual violence as well, but also how does trauma affect the victim and how can that look? And, you know, people like police who are on the front line and seeing victim survivors in their most vulnerable time and state need to make sure that they're not going to potentially re-traumatise or put the victim through more by certain ways they ask questions or by their own beliefs. So that training is absolutely essential. So we've been pushing for that one for a few years now and we're going to be pushing for that one again.
Absolutely. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yes, 100% hear you on that, Sarah. And there needs to be greater accountability with police. We cannot have police investigating police around family violence and around poor responses to family violence and sexual assault. And there's so much more that can be said around that. But, like, I think it's really important that our listeners get along to those rallies so that they can hear in more detail about the issues that survivors are facing and about the, like we're saying, the primary prevention work that needs to happen. It needs to happen early with young people when they're in schools, because that, you know, that's when they're most malleable and that's where we can really start to hopefully, prevent future violence from happening. Did you have any final comments for us, Sarah?
I don't think so. Thanks so much for giving us a voice, and I just think it's really important. No matter, you know, you don't have to be a victim survivor or, you know, anything to come to the rallies. The more people who come, the more pressure it puts on the government to actually make change. So it's always really important that people find the one closest to them, even if you only come for, you know, the start or the end. Showing up is actually very, very important.
100%. And, like, we all, like, even for someone who hasn't personally experienced it, they'll know so many people around them who have experienced sexual or family violence, like one in three women and have experienced gender-based violence. And, like, it's such a critical issue. So, we need it's a community issue and we need community to come together over this. Thank you so much, Sarah. I'll just plug the details for the rally in NAM, if that's okay. But we've got No More Rally Against Violence, Stop Violence Against Women, 11 a.m. at the State Library, and that's next Saturday, April the 18th here. But can people check the What Were You Wearing website for details of the other rallies?
On our website or anywhere on our social media, you'll find all the information.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. And, we just, want to thank you for your time and thanks for all the wonderful work that you're doing. It's so needed and so appreciated.
No, thank you so much for having us.
Okay. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.